care. John didn't care. Let me ask you this. When they were at the Last Supper, who was the one leaning on Jesus' chest? John. Coincidence? No. Why? Let me ask you this. Why was John able to lay on his chest? It's a serious question. Why was John able to rest on his chest? Anyone? Thank you. Right answer. Because he got to. Because he was sat right there. No one told him he couldn't. So when people like Peter, bless his heart, with that attitude of, don't touch him, don't touch, what are you doing? Don't touch him. You know, what are you doing? Move back. Everyone, move back. Just move back. And Jesus is like, what is this guy's deal? Let me check the cup. Let me check the bread. Let me just, so Jesus, I'll make sure. So, yeah, it's okay. It's good. Here you go. Stop. Jesus, John's just sat there like, this guy still walks over, sits nice and close to Jesus, leans on his chest. Why? Because he can. Good answer. He could. There was nothing better about him. He knew he had access. He, what's this? Peter boasted about his love for Christ 3 times. John boasts about Jesus' love for him. That's the right way round. Are you with me? This is where faith comes in. Faith is not based on your works. It's faith according to grace. You have access because of grace. You don't achieve it, you receive it. If you take every word in the Bible and it says, as many of those who have received Christ, and I change one word, it can change the whole context. And I say, as many of those who have achieved Christ. Weird, isn't it? Sounds completely weird. Achieved Christ? How do you achieve Christ? Well, I was there. I was with him. When they tried to arrest him, I cut their ear off. You didn't do anything. You were chickens. You just run off. I was there. And Jesus is like, I don't need you to take your knife out. I've got a legion. My Father has a legion of angels. And they even looked at me funny. I tell you what's amazing. I love this quote. Do you remember when he was standing before Pilate? And Pilate was actually trying to save him from the Jews that wanted to crucify him. And he was a little bit desperate because his wife had that dream. Remember? Right. Don't have this is all wrong. I'm telling you, don't have nothing to do with this. And that's why you see Pilate washing his hands publicly, because he knew. He was like, I ain't having you crucify him, but I'm having nothing to do with this. But there's this part when he goes into Jesus and he finds out, and here's something interesting. If you check this in your Bibles, actually, Peter refused Christ, denied him 3 times. Actually, God redeems everything, right? I've said this before. If you count, Pilate actually commends him 3 times. Says, I can't find nothing wrong. Can't find nothing wrong. 3 times. Pays back the 3 times. He was denied. 3 times he's affirmed. Then on the board, he writes, remember, King of the Jews in the 3 major languages. There's lots of exciting stuff in the Bible, but what's this? Jesus is standing there quiet, not defending himself. Because thankfully, Peter's not around now to do that. So it's just him and Pilate now. And he's staying quiet. And Pilate's almost desperate. Why aren't you saying something? And he says to him, remember these words. He says, why aren't you saying something? Don't you know I have the power to save you or to have you crucified? And I get chills when I see Jesus just standing and says, you have no authority over me other than what my Father has given you. Meaning, if I weren't meant to be standing here, you would be in so much trouble right now. I'm standing there quiet because I have to fulfill what the Father told me to do, to be an atonement and a sacrifice, and I'm going to do it. As terrifying as it is, and as scary as it feels, I'm going to do it. Because if I don't, all these people are going to be sacrificed. Wow. How can you not serve him? How can you not love him? I don't want to stop him from going to the cross. I don't want to stop him from washing my feet. I don't want to stop him from baptizing me. I can't do anything to help him. I'm going to take you to a couple of really interesting verses to cap off where we're going with faith. Because I know I've said a lot of stuff that's kind of sounds like it's on the periphery, but it's not. Is anyone understanding now the better context of where you're at with Christ? He doesn't need your performance, brothers and sisters. Please understand this. He doesn't need your performance. If it was based on your performance, we'd all be doomed. Don't be offended. I'm not looking at you. I'm talking to me too. There are no perfect Christians. Okay, I don't get to stand there because I'm better than you. I get to stand there. You know what? To do this job, Pastor Mike will back me up. The judgment is double for us. Double. It's stricter. This ain't a great position to be in if you shouldn't be in it. So I do this with reverence. I don't do this being flash. There is nothing better about me than you right now. And if I do the same thing, we're thinking, I'm going to try and help Jesus. I'm going to try and give him, you know, some more. I'm going to try and do something extra to help him along his way. He don't need nothing from me. It's all been done. When he died on the cross and the curtain was ripped, the Holy of Holies, only the high priest, once a year, if he was lucky too, because he had to be pure to go in there and make atonement for himself and for you. And that gets torn open so that you and me can walk in, the Bible says, and we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, not with arrogance, not bow down like this. And Jesus says, lift your head. Lift your head. Because it ain't what you've done, it's what I've done. I've paid for it. Lift your head. And come in with confidence. I've paid for it. It's finished. I've got it. John tells us in John 15, Jesus tells us, outside of me, you can do nothing. That's a great liberating word and a feeling, right? Because when people hear that, they go, oh, no, I could do. What are you talking about? I could do. Shh, stop. I can do nothing outside of him. I like that. You know what it tells me? Because it's all about him. It's never about me. It was never about me. Just in case some of you don't know me, I come from one of the worst families in a rough part of town with drugs and extreme violence, abuse to levels you would never understand as a child that I went through from being committed at a young age. I'm going through being addicted, violent, lost. Everyone knew my family in our town. Even my son had a recent situation at a conference where someone who's another Christian found out who we were, and she lived on a road next to me. And when he mentioned who we were, my name, she put her arm in the air. She said, "There is a God." She said, they knew who our family were. I'm standing here before you today, and I look at my children that are up here worshiping God. I never deserved that. I never asked for that. I never earned it. He didn't need to save me. I wasn't looking for him when he saved me. I am living proof that it's not about you or me. It's about him. It's all about him. I want to show you some exciting stuff. Sorry, I can brag on Jesus all day long and never get bored. But we can't. I don't want to take the whole evening, but I want to show you some things. Go with me to... We're going to go here. Okay, let's get right to it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to come into land now. Pastor Mike, I'm not over time, am I? I'm not. Okay, cool. Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 27. And I want to show you some things here that you may have missed. And I want to show you that our father of faith, Abraham, had a little secret that maybe some of you may not have noticed. But let's just show you some spiritual truths. Two covenants, Galatians chapter 4, verse 27, 21 through 27. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Hear that word here? Faith comes by. He said, don't you hear it? What he's saying here in the Greek is, don't you hear what it's saying to you? Why would you want to live under it? What's this? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. The Bible is telling us in Galatians, these things are symbolic. Don't look at them as just fleshy reality. Okay, there's two sons. What's the big deal? No, they're symbolic. What's this? It's really important. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, this Hagar is Mount Sinai, which is in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, which it was at the time. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. This is really interesting. Abraham, the Bible says, he's the father of us all. Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. So we have a father and a mother. One's a powerful thing in us and a place, and another place to inhabit and to live. Which is the mother of us all? For it is written, rejoice, O barren, and that's not really here nor there. The two covenants, the two sons were like two covenants for us. And this one's a bond one, and this one's a child of promise, which is free. That's us. Isaac was the son of promise, yeah. Right? Okay. So now I want to show you something. So go into Romans chapter 4. The reason I'm showing you all these verses, because it's just the way I do things. I want to expose you to the word, not to me telling you about what it says. I'd rather you read it with me. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 22. So important for faith. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God. Him who believed, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. You hear that? When there was no hope, Abraham still believed. Had nothing to see to tell him it was going to happen. And I love this. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, the word. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith. He wasn't weak in faith. And I'm going to show you why he wasn't weak. His secret he had, which will bless you. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. Listen to this, church. House of Manor, listen to this. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform it. 100 years old, me, a father of a child and a father of many nations, me. Abraham's like, I'm good. He said it. It's done. He said it. It's done. Didn't waver. And I love fully convinced, meaning anyone ever told him, ah, load of rubbish, look at you, you're never going to do. Shh. He can do it. He said he can do it, and he can do it right now. So go with me. What's this? Stay in Galatians, but go to chapter 3, and I want to show you why he knew and why he celebrated. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. This is so exciting when you see this, when you understand where Abraham is. Context, where's Abraham in the Bible? Right steeped in the Old Testament, right? This is really interesting. So hold that thought in your mind. So Paul's writing to the church in Galatia. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Is it you doing anything? To help? No, just hearing it, right? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So if you have faith today, you're a son of Abraham. What's this? Verse 8 is amazing. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, us, by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Wait a minute. The gospel? We're in the Old Testament. Did you hear that? No, it doesn't make sense. The gospel doesn't come in into the New Testament. What's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ, the atonement, the suffering servant that's going to come for this to be the savior of the world. We're still steeped in the Old Testament. What, where's the gospel coming in? Do you see why Abraham... It was attributed to him as righteousness just because he believed God. What did he do? Because people say, yeah, but that was because he offered to sacrifice his son. No, that ain't even happened yet. He's done nothing. Up to this point, he's done nothing. That was why he was able to sacrifice his son, because of the faith he had, because he knew there was an atonement coming. Because the Bible tells us that somehow, and I still don't know, no one knows because none of us were there to see it, but somehow the gospel and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. This is New Testament language. preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed by believing Abraham. Just as I was showing you the picture of Peter and John, now do you see what Jesus is saying? If you look at Abraham and follow him, you'll become an heir to the promise. Of what? Of works? Your good deeds? So let me ask you this. How are we Christians? Well, because I read my Bible. Well, they didn't have a Bible. Because I go to church. They didn't have a church. You see where we're going? If we're going to look back there and go, what did they have? Didn't have anything. Faith in God. To know if he said he's going to do it, I am fully convinced that he is able to fulfill what he said he's going to do. That was it. Don't believe me? Quickly go to the Gospel of John. Trust me, we are coming into land. I know I keep saying this, but we are. But I just need to give you the full context. John chapter 8, 56 through 58. John chapter 8, 56 through 58. I want to show you to back this up because Jesus talks about this himself. So here we find Jesus having a debate again with the Pharisees. Remember, keep boasting, Abraham's our father. And he said, your father is the devil. That's a strong comment to make. So what's this? Verse 56 of John 8. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? They said to him. And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Imagine saying that to Jesus. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I'm actually a liar like you. Very pointed, isn't he, Jesus, with these guys? What's this? But I do know him, and I keep his word. Watch where we're going with this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. Stop. What? He didn't say he heard about it. He saw it. He saw my day, and he was glad. We just read here that through the scriptures, the gospel was preached to Abraham. He knew, foreseeing what was happening with him, that there was just going to be this atonement, and all the Gentiles are going to be grafted in. So he's like, I'm with God. If he says it, he's going to do it. Right. Yet he did nothing. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And he was glad. I'm going to read this to you quickly. Romans 4, 23 to 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Talking about Abraham, also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up for our justification. It weren't just so. Just in case you're saying, well, that was first century, you know, Judaism. It was for Abraham. It wasn't for us. No, he says, no, it wasn't just for him alone, but for anybody that believes that Christ is the one. Faith comes by hearing. Actually, let's go back a little bit. So let's go because when we read Romans 10, let's back up a little bit because we have to give context to this. And this will help you who are in church today and not out there. You haven't missed anything today. Thank you for coming, because what you're hearing, whether you're sat here today and those who are watching live are feeling you're just hearing another sermon. No. Romans 10, let's pick up from verse 14 and then let's reach 17, right? Context. Romans 10, 14. How shall they call on him who they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, or the good news, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Then it says, therefore, So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The fact that you walked in here today, the fact that today while you're busy with other stuff, you said, oh, I must remember, I've got church this evening. You've set yourself up to hear. Not just to hear me flapping my gums, to hear what's being said and to let it go in. What is it saying to me? What's Martin talking about? What's this stuff he's sharing? Why is he sharing it? Does he just want to be heard? Or is there some truth behind this that's going to transform my life? Amen. Understand this, church. Jesus, listen, the whole Bible, there is nothing in this that's speaking to inform. It's all speaking to transform. Jesus wasn't interested in informing you about anything. He wanted to transform you. So the fact you've turned up tonight, that's what it says. How would they even believe unless they hear it? How would they even hear it unless someone preaches? How would someone preach unless he goes there in the first place? We're here. I've flown thousands of miles to be here. Are you with me? And you showed up. And there are people out there today going, you know what, I can just do with missing church tonight. You know, I've got a lot on it. It's cool. I'll just do it another week. Really? Because if faith comes by hearing, then what are you hearing? What are you hearing? Because what you hear, you think has no effect on you. It's okay. There's someone out there right now, God forbid, you know, you don't need to go to church tonight, man. We can go and hang out, and we never get to hang out. Leave that stuff, man. We could do that another time. Let's go and hang out. What are you hearing? That could be the one time God was going to meet with you and share the one thing you was going to hear that you missed because you thought something else was going to be more important than him. I've upset a lot of people in my lifetime, and I won't stop doing so when it comes to the gospel, you know, because I was hungry. When I walked in that church 17, 18 years ago, I left my house to kill myself, by the way, those who don't know me. I left my house to kill myself. I went looking for a church. I went out to end my life because everything I touched, I destroyed. And one night while in my bedroom, I came to a conclusion. I can't blame the abuse I went through as a child. I can't blame my family. I can't blame the place I grew up. I can't blame the fact I was born on a Tuesday. I can't, you know, and keep moaning and moaning and moaning. It was me. It was me. I made bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. And I'm blaming the whole world for my own shock and my own misgivings. Jesus was there through it all. He cried with me through it all. And by his mercy, I end up walking into a church, finally saying, I'm sick of hearing all this Jesus stuff. I'm sick of hearing about all this Jesus stuff. I want to see it. Or I'm just going to kill myself. And that night I walked in, and it was actually an American preacher, by the way. That's why I always loved America. And that night I got filled with the Holy Spirit within an hour. What's this? I'm saved. And you're thinking that's enough, right? This guy's life's destroyed. God saved me. Go on, you're saved now. You're good. Just go. No, he saves me, sends me back to the woman. I'm estranged and the kids I've lost. I ain't done with you. I'm gonna go right. The gates of Hades are not going to stop. I'm about to throw at them. They destroyed you, your girlfriend. I wasn't married at the time. Your kids. You've lost everything. I'm going to bring it all back. Saved you. Restored the family, saved my wife, saved my kids, and then thought, you know what? And just for a treat, I'm going to unleash them on the world. I'm not going to sit them down in the house. I'm going to set them loose, and everyone's going to hear it. People who are after me, people who are after me to harm me and kill me, my family will tell you, from the day I got saved, I never saw them again. I never bumped into them on the street. I didn't ask God where they were. I don't want to know where they are. The fact is, I never got to see them again, and God removed things from my life and people. And then I had no education, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm hearing this stuff, and my faith's growing, and I'm believing God for crazy things I would never believe God for. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. What am I hearing? You're hearing your friends, your family, you're hearing music, the TV. And you're having your faith, what's this? Slowly, by the enemy's not stupid. He's not going to come in like a rush and try and pull the rug completely under your feet. Slowly, by slowly, just a little whisper. Did he say? Did he really say? Did he? Is it really? Really? And you're like, kind of like, I'm strong, and you're strong for a while, but you're listening. And then slowly, it's just as a riverbank collapses. It didn't collapse then. It was the river slowly hitting it again. And then when you see it collapse, you think that's the moment it went. No, it was always going to happen because no one took notice. The water was coming up, just hitting against it. And that's what it's like for us. Allowing things, we're hearing things we shouldn't be hearing. Slowly pulling your faith away. Then you start missing a service. Then you don't really want to read your word. Then he gets you locked into condemnation because now you're falling. And you think God don't love you anymore because you've tripped. That's a lie. The wages of sin is death, is it not? This is Bible teaching 101 right now. What's a wage? Anyone know what a wage is? Is wage a gift or is it earned? Right, so if the wages of sin is death, how is the sin happening? You're working. If you're blood born again Christian and you trip, that's not death. That's a mistake. Okay? Listen, I ain't promoting sin here. I'm just trying to save some people that the enemy's got locked into condemnation. Block, don't read the word. God don't like you. He's upset with you. You're in trouble. Nope. There ain't nothing you can't fix by repenting and going back and saying, Lord, I blew it again. This here, as we have full access. Let me just finish on this. Peace of God, God of peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 down to 9. This is when we'll leave you with faith. What is faith? Everyone knows these verses. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace, what's the wording in order? God of peace will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then we stop there and we use that almost like, what's a painkiller medication used in America? Aleve. Take two of these and you'll be okay in the morning. That's Philippians 4:6. No, it doesn't end there. It carries on. Anything that's of noteworthy, anything of good report, if anything is honorable. And it says, meditate on these things. What's this? Meditate on these things. And then Paul carries on and says, those things which you heard, which you saw, and which you learnt from me, these do. And God of peace will be with you. Is everyone with me? Huh? Sorry, did I get it wrong? If you're anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, you get the peace of God. When you listen to what Peter says, when Paul says, when you listen to what I saw, what I taught you, and you do them, the God of peace goes with you. Too many of us are living with the peace of God when God wants you to have the whole thing. Do you want the gift of God, or you want the God of who gives the gifts? It's the $60 million question with Solomon, right? What can I give you, Solomon? And he's going, well, hang on a minute. Cars, money, wealth. And he's thinking, hang on a minute, what am I doing? No, sorry, Lord, I'll just have you. Because if I get you, get it all. And he did. So here's the thing with faith. Faith isn't about just what you're hearing. James brings that to the next level. Don't be hearers of the word, but be doers. Now, as I end, mission to Africa, not necessarily. Serving in the church, not necessarily. Going out and witnessing to the addicts, not necessarily. What's he telling you to do? What's he telling you to do? He may be telling you something about you that's got nothing to do with the external. Please hear when I say this. Because your first thing is like, you know, he's telling me to fix up. No. It doesn't always have to be a negative. Sometimes God say, hey, you know what? Hey, Martin, look, I'll give you a quick example. I worked at a really rough place once. This is really fast. And God said to me, that for 2 weeks, I was in this trucking company. He said, Martin, watch your character. No big, you know, pray and fast and read and proclaim and stand outside the gates of your work and proclaim and pull down and raise up. No. What's your character? Okay. So I'm in there and I'm working with these guys and they're effing and blinding and they're doing what they're doing. And I'm just trying to figure, okay, well, how do I, what's my character? Okay, just try to be set apart. So I'm trying to not engage with stuff and try to keep my integrity. What's this? Is that it? Is that it? What's your character? Is that really? What's this? I work with a guy. I probably shared this story, but this is the backstory. This guy was my arch enemy in this workplace. I kid you not. Hated me. And I weren't really fond of him either, if I can be honest with you. Even as a Christian, yeah, I was pretty poor. I weren't praying for him to get saved. I was praying for God to take him away early, right? I'm just being honest, right? And God rebuked me of that. And I think I need to say, okay, Lord, I'm really sorry. Let me pray properly here. I get a phone call from my boss. Tomorrow you're working with this guy. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, shall I pull a sickie? Shall I not go in? And the Lord said, no, what's your character? So I don't know. I don't see how the two things are coming together. But watch this. We were arch enemies for ages. He hated me for some reason. Maybe because I was a Christian. We're in the truck and it's frosty, right? And I don't mean physically. It was spiritually frosty. And I'm thinking, we're going to either have a fight or something's going to happen today. Because he don't like me and I'm not really fond of him. And we're in this truck. I kid you not, in front of God. We get less than a mile away from our workplace. And it's really tense in this truck. And I mean, and check this out, how God's got a sense of humor. I was his helper for the day. You want to be the greatest? You're not driving. You're his servant today. I thought, this is going to be a rough ride. What's this? We're at the traffic lights. He turns to me. In front of God, I'll never lie. And he looks at me and he says, you know what, Martin? He says, I know you're a man I can trust. I know you're a man I can tell things to and you're not going to share it with everyone else. And I'm like, okay. And he says, you probably wonder why I don't like you. And he sat there and he started to open. He says, you know, I never knew my mother and father. They didn't want me as a child. And he said, I lived my whole life scarred and understanding why was I not wanted. And I'd watch you come in every day smiling and carrying this, whatever it is you have. And I hated you for it. I was in tears. And he was broken. We sat at the traffic lights and I went from his enemy to his father within a second. And I said, Danny, man, let me tell you some things, man. I told him my story and he was like, wow, I never knew. I said, man, you want to hear about a bad story? And I ministered to that guy all day. We had lunch and I told him, we're going to break bread together, me and you. He said, what's that? I said, don't worry, we're going to have lunch. It's on me. And he said, we sat there eating. He said, you know what, Martin? He said, this has been the best day at work I've ever had. That guy asked the boss for me to go with him every day. He wouldn't even let me drive to work. The heavy things on the truck? No, you ain't lifting that. I'll get it. So what I'm saying to you, what is God telling you? It could be simple. It could be just a character thing. It could be just a one word. Here's a word. Hold it. And when you're ready, I'm going to get you to release it to someone. Maybe someone at the checkout. Maybe a checkout person at Walmart or HEB. And you're going to say something that's going to transform their life because they're waiting to hear it. And I'm watching this world dying. That some people that maybe even irritate you and you don't know why because they're lost and broken. Are you with me? What is God saying to you? So what I'm saying to you, how your faith is going to get built is by hearing church, the word, being in fellowship, building each other's holy faith as you see the day drawing near, encouraging each other. This stuff's massively important. That's why I said thank you for coming tonight because you've heard something that's going to transform you. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, God says, I've not forgot your labor of love. It's not work you're doing. The fact that you show up, I remember it. I remember it. I remember every time you walked, every time you even decided to come into church, I already made a note for you. Please know that, brothers and sisters. So I'm going to close on that. Your faith is based on what you hear. And when you do the things you hear, God promises not to give you the peace. The peace is when you're mulling it over. When you decide to make that step, okay, I'm going to speak to this person. I'm going to do this thing you've told me. God guarantees you, now I'm going to go with you. And when he goes with you, I don't know, Pastor Marty, how you want to close this thing out, but I'm assuming we should pray. Who wants prayer? Who wants to come up and be prayed for? That God will open your ears. Every time Jesus spoke, you know, you read your Bibles, right? How many times when Jesus says something super significant does he end with, let him who has an ear hear? Meaning everyone's listening, but not everyone's hearing. Bible says the man who hears and doesn't do is like a man who looks in the mirror. And we always get this wrong. We say, yeah, he walks away and he forgets what he looked like. No, it doesn't say that. It says he goes away and he forgets what kind of a man he was. Meaning he needs a reality check. He don't need you to help him. Jesus doesn't want you to honor him and blow him up. Like, he doesn't need it. He didn't do that for that. He didn't want the applause. He did it for you. So when he sees you living out the life he's given you because of what he's done on the cross, that brings him so much more joy than if you ever clapped for him. Because he looks at you and it's like he's saying to the angels, remember it says, they wonder, they look at us, they, what is man that you made him? Who are these creatures? They have faith, but yet they don't know you like we do. And the angels watch you when you're doing this stuff and they're like, wow, these amazing creatures, they have no idea what's going on, but somehow they're sticking with you. Are you with me? We can honor God and Christ so much more if we say, you know what? I ain't boasting about my love for you, Jesus. My love for you is rubbish at the best of days. But you know what? I know you love me. I know you love me. There's a famous word in the Bible. It says beloved. Hear that word? It's the marriage of two words. Be loved. Jesus just wants you to be loved. Maybe your family didn't love you. Maybe your dad didn't love you, or your mum didn't love you, or people didn't love you. He loves you. But you have to allow yourself to be loved. John allowed himself to be loved. Never boasted about his love. He boasted about the love that was given to him. He wasn't martyred. They tried to martyr him. He wouldn't borrow. He was the one that was given revelation. He was the one that was given Mary as a mum, as a son. Remember? Coincidence? No. I believe that was happening because he was a picture of the organic grace and faith we should have. Where Peter was a good example still, but God was using that to show us. Peter was trying to earn it and do it for me. I love Peter, but that's not the way to go. That's why he nearly sunk. Just be loved. He's paid for your sins, past, present, and future. There's nothing you can do that's going to surprise him. And when you fall, and the enemy says you've blown it, he don't want to know you, don't read the word, don't go to church, nothing's going to change. Throw that junk out. Walk back in there because you're able to, because of the throne of grace. It's paid for. Let's stand. Whoever wants prayer, please come up. I want to just line up at the front. I want to pray for you.